Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Adjacent.
You're listening to the Sports Adjacent.
Okay, I like that. I just learned something new today. Adjacent.
With Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey on the House of L Network.
We're doing everything I dreamed of as an adjacent.
Had on headphones and then tested, like before you join the StreamYard, it says test, like the headphones.
Yes.
It's a slapper of a song. I really enjoyed that song.
I don't remember the song specifically.
It was like testing your headphones. It sounds like it's working. It slapped. I thoroughly enjoyed it. So shout out to StreamYard.
I can tell. Maybe you get that on like your running playlist or something.
Makes you almost want to just keep testing your headphones, right? Like you're like, I don't care what I
do after. I was definitely about to do that. I may just put that song in this podcast.
And yeah. They tested fine, but I want to test them again.
Yeah, 45 minutes into testing your headphones, I go, damn, time got away from here.
Russ, I wouldn't think that you would need to be told that, like, you don't take orders from Tony in any way.
I mean, the reason we've hired Tony is to help improve our product, which I feel like, for the most part, he's done, right? there's those days. There's those days where we're just like, all right, I don't know if the product has been helped. But it's a long-term investment, young Anthony Gill.
Tony thinks those are his best days.
Oh, definitely. Like, what? Those are the stuff we have to edit out are always our best shows.
how much are you actually editing out? Like, what would you say?
Cam.
Okay. What? How much are we editing out?
Let me answer that for him.
There's a reason why we haven't gone live.
Sports Adjacent gets.
These guys feel like it's a lot. It's really only 10%, probably. Okay. But let me tell you, it is a blazing hot 10%.
It always is.
It is the 10%.
Yeah.
Last week, not that much, but the 10% that we do cut is it will 100% lose you your job.
I'll explain for Cam and the listener like what the editing process is like. So when we're done recording, Tony will take the audio file and he'll go through, cut out the dead periods, and like just put in all the good stuff.
Sure.
And then he sends it to Jason and I, usually the night before, sometimes two nights before, depending on when we record. And Jason and I have to go through and decide, okay, what gets us fired?
Yeah.
What makes a significant other upset? Did we offend anybody, right? Mm-hmm. That's usually what we're listening for. Or the big one, will we get canceled?
Yeah,
I guess. Like that's the, just the show.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Right. So then that's usually how it goes. And so for the like we joke about it. For the most part, we're usually okay.
Yeah.
And like that's why we have the elevator music, or we might bleep something. But then there are those days when we listen and we got to send the text to Tony immediately, like, "Yo, this cannot go in there." Okay. Then we have to listen again to make sure it's not in there.
Yeah.
I do wonder if, like, I feel like everyone has a different baseline of what would get them canceled. So, like, what Russ thinks might get him canceled, Tony doesn't think is going to get him canceled. Like, how? Like, I imagine that is where the trouble comes in.
Here's the problem, Cam. Sometimes Tony don't Tony don't care about getting canceled. Yeah, I do, right? Tony just like, I mean, that's if I get canceled, I got more time to chill. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. I just got this job and this money. Right. Like, don't take it away from me.
Last week, we talked about...
Tony, stop.
Stop. Tony, like, this is a good segment.
We cut all of that out.
This is the 10% good... that we're talking about? Yeah.
Well, it wasn't Tony until think Tony...
he can get canceled. It's not that he doesn't care about getting canceled. He just doesn't think it's possible, Russ. So he sits here and he... But even if he did, he'd be like, eh, you know, I got a serious girlfriend now. I've been looking to spend more time with her.
Right. He thinks there's no... There's all upside.
Yeah.
Into there's the cancellation of Anthony Gill.
There's a certain power in just saying, I can't be canceled. Like, people do it and it just works somehow. They're just like, no, yeah.
A guy became president off that.
Exactly. Yeah, I was about to say Tony thinks he, but you're not the president, Tony. You're right. Tony. Yeah. So they have no, and, well, you black too, so they had no problem getting you out of here. So I don't know if that was going to work for you.
It worked for him and the governor of Virginia and Dave Chappelle. I'm not sure if it's really worked for anybody else. Yeah. Welcome to Sports Adjacent, everybody. The voice you're hearing that may or may not sound familiar to you is Cam Ellis from The Score, our friend. Hey. I'm Jason Leisure. My co-host, Russ Dorsey, is here. He's home. He's home for once. Usually, Russ is
nice
in some strange hotel room because of his job.
Wait a minute. Job. Don't say strange hotel room. Like, it's like this Motel 6 on the outskirts of some city. Like
I said, because of your job. And we got our producer, Tony Gill, as always. And we, as always, are brought to you by Obvious Shirts. Russ, they got some new shirts on here that I want to ask you about. It's the Schwindy City collection. There is a tank with Frank on it, and you can buy men's or women's shirts. It's a Schwindy City. I know that this is about Frank Schwindel.
Yes, sir.
And I know that that is not a made-up name. I know nothing else about him. Tell me.
He has been the best hitter in baseball since August 1st.
The best hitter in baseball?
Yes, sir.
The whole sport?
30-year-old Frank Schwindel.
Good for him, man. Good for him. Well, you can go on there and get some get the Schwindy City collection, or you can get the Sports Adjacent collection. We've got 5 shirts on there, and actually 10, I guess, if you count that they all come in black and royal blue.
Correct.
And you can get 10% off. You already get free shipping at Obvious Shirts. You're already getting funny, high-quality, soft T-shirts, and you can get an extra 10% off your entire order by using promo code ADJACENT10. Russ, you know what I need to buy? A Bluetooth speaker.
Just to have around the house or
well, there's a specific reason, and I'm wondering if anything like this has happened to the three of you. And Cam Ellis, thank you again for joining us. We love having you as guest co-host. You were fantastic last time. And you better be fantastic this time or else we'll just find somebody else.
I will say, Jason called and was like, hey man, like I don't want to put pressure on you, but like I hope you're funny tomorrow night. Like, just no pressure or anything. Like,
he's like, hey,
cool.
We, we have options, so we're relying on you as plan A.
Cam is going to bring us a report on the Chicago Bears later in this episode, but I was stuck, Russ, because it's like I don't want Cam breaking down, you know, the snaps at tight end,
right?
Or who should be playing right tackle for the Bears. I wanted it to be funny, but I didn't know a way to tell him that without saying, come on, Cam, be funny. And be funny is the worst thing. It is the worst thing you could say to anybody.
It is. It really is.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I've done that. I've done it.
Like, who have you told people?
A comedian.
Tony walk up to Bill Burr and be like, hey, Bill, be funny.
Why would you do that? Why would you say that to a comedian who inherently knows that? That's it's like if I get on here and I'm like, all right, guys, this is the episode. Let's do a good job. Let's do a really good show. That, like, you guys wouldn't know that. Why would? Who did you tell to be funny and why, Tony?
The said comedian will be remain nameless, but I booked him for a show for Lawrence, or maybe Herb did, and he was like, "Oh yeah, he's a comedian." I was like, "All right, cool, cool." So he comes in, he does the interview. I was like, "I thought he was a comedian," and he was like, "He is. This is just, you know, an interview." I was like, "Ah, should have been funny." You know, now just kind
of, you know, the benefit of the bleep that we have you put in is you could say the dude name and then bleep it out, bro.
Well, I only said that because I actually forgot his name. So.
It didn't end up being that great of a story because he didn't actually say it to the guy. So,
and he forgot the guy's name.
Basically, a guy just came in and wasn't funny.
I thought Tony was like going to open mics across the city and just ruining comics night. Like,
boom! Like, that is 100%. Tony would go to the laugh Laugh Factory or something like that.
Right.
And be like, you suck. Boo.
He'd crack himself up. The reason I need to buy a new Bluetooth speaker is I only have like two of these things. I don't know how much a normal person has. Maybe rich people have like five, you know, I don't know. I have one for inside. Yeah. Do people not even use that anymore?
Oh, no, I think one is, I think most people just have one.
Oh, wow. So I'm the rich guy. Nice. I have one for inside the house and one that I use outside that's waterproof and has like a strap on the back and can be attached to like even a tree or something like that if I want to use it outside, which is awesome. I've lost this thing like 100 times. There's been 100 times where I've lost this thing. I thought, I'm never finding that again. It's in a bush. It's in the dark. Like, I'm never going to get this thing back. And so I've had this coming for a while. This is what I wanted to know if you guys have done anything like this. I have a bad habit of when I'm working around the garage or the front yard of just setting stuff on the trunk of my car in the garage, like it's a table. And I set this Bluetooth speaker on the trunk of the car and later in the day went and ran an errand without realizing it was there. And so it's gone. It's somewhere between my house and the store. And I realized it pretty quickly afterward and went out driving around looking for it and like retracing my steps and did not find it. It's gone.
Nah, it's a wrap for that.
Yeah.
You never do stuff like that?
Like loose?
Yeah, just like things absent-mindedly like losing something that is somewhat valuable.
You know what? This is a good time. I lost one of my diamond earrings the other day.
There we go. The one mistake Russ has ever made. That sounds like a big one. That sounds worse than a Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I'm like, nah, I wouldn't have. But it was just like.
But did you lose it stupidly? Did you lose it stupidly like I did?
Stupidly, no. Like, it's annoying the way I lost it, but it wasn't stupid. So I'm coming out of the store. I was at Whole Foods, and I still had my mask on.
Nice flex.
Oh,
well, the rest of us are shopping at Jewel. Go ahead.
Stop it. Walking out of Whole Foods, and I still have my mask on, and I get in the car, and I go to remove my mask as I'm sitting in the car, and like the mask strap, like. Think of somebody's finger like flicking my ear. It basically did that, and my earring flew out and fell like between the seats of the car. Okay. And most people be like, "Oh, okay, you just reach down and find it." But
yeah, you can get that.
No, the diamond earrings aren't like. It's not like I drop my phone. And I can just so I have to take out the mats in the car. I take out the mats in the back of the back seat. I'm looking underneath and. I might have looked for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Could not find that earring, man. So lost one of my diamond earrings. And
but you think it's in your car still?
I know it's still in there, but like.
Oh, it's somewhere in there.
It's small. Like in comparison to most things, like it's really small. And there's so many crevices in a car.
Yeah.
Like, it might be a wrap. So I just.
You can't use a magnet?
Are you of the belief that diamonds are magnetic?
Well, no, Tony, I don't think that would work.
I don't think they're magnetic.
In the
or a vacuum? A vacuum would work.
Well, but then what?
Well, no. Then how would I? Guys.
You vacuum it, and then you just vacuum.
Right. And then you open up the thing, and then you look forward in the thing.
Yeah.
All right. You know what, Russ? We shouldn't criticize. They're trying to help.
No, I get that. I get that.
And I think
what you're struggling with. Are those little hand duster ones?
Yes, a dust buster. Russ, I think what you're struggling with right now is you just all of a sudden realized we have two Tonys.
You 100% have two Tonys.
Let's use a magnet. Let's use a vacuum.
So I lost that. Had to buy. I wanted an excuse to buy another set of earrings anyway, but like I couldn't just go around with one set or one of the set, right. So I ended up getting another pair.
I lost my sister one time.
Okay.
How old was she?
She was in high school.
Okay. Have you found her? Or?
Yeah. Okay. We're all good now. All right. Yeah. I retraced my steps, everything, found her. Got her.
I didn't think that needed to be asked, but I thought we better get that out of the way right up front, whether she was ever found.
Yeah.
I like that the stakes have gone higher with every story. Like, first it was a Bluetooth speaker, and then it was like a diamond earring, and we were like, oh, damn, okay. And then I was like, Tony's like, yeah, I lost my sister. Like, I can't go any better than like losing my sister. So I don't think I can go top that one. But I've lost something at some point, I assume.
Tony, did you say that you were in high school or your sister was in high school? Wasn't your sister in high school?
My sister was in high
years,
school.
So you lost her just a few years ago?
Yeah.
You weren't like eight. This is something that happened recently?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you think she was in the car?
So when she was a part of the drama team, and she had a play, and I went to the play, and as it was ending, I was like, oh, okay, I'll go get the pizza, and then we'll go home. I got the pizza, but I didn't go back to pick her up, and I went straight home. And I was like, man, I wonder where is she? And I was like, yes, she's back at school. So,
but the pizza was there, so.
The funniest part is I know in this story, like, Tony's driving, and he really goes, yes.
Yes, how loud did no one?
He definitely said that to himself in a car.
Chris, do you ever leave anything on a plane? That's easy to do, and you fly a ton.
No. I always make sure phone, wallet, keys.
In a stadium, a ballpark.
I've left a charger.
Yeah, that's an easy
once or
one.
Twice,
that's,
like the laptop charger. Automatic.
Yeah,
but I've always done it with another day when I was coming back to the park, so it was there.
Okay. Yeah, I left the iPad charger, and that's like the really good charger. That's the one that's like a supercharger. I left that in a stadium, and you're not getting that back. I left a sport coat on a plane once. The dress code for football is just a little bit more than baseball. I think you guys can kind of wear whatever you want most of the time. You guys are summer. You guys probably wear shorts to games, I would assume, right?
It used to be frowned upon, but there's a lot of younger people in there now.
Yes.
We said F that, yeah.
Changing it, I like that.
Good. But
I usually will wear a sport coat or something to cover a football, an NFL game, but that's about the only time I'll wear one, so I don't have that many. So losing one sport coat for me is like losing 20% of my sport coat population. And people will probably hear this story and think that it serves me right, because it's a little bit mean, so something bad happening to me at the end of this seems appropriate. But I was on a plane headed to a Bears game in 2019, and I had put the sport coat in the closet. And that's you almost should just write yourself a note when you do that. When you put it in the little closet when you get on the plane, you should write a note to remind yourself that it's not going to be there. And I go and sit down, and the guy sitting in front of me for this flight, and thankfully it's only to Minneapolis, so it's like an hour. The smell was oppressive. It was the worst smell. The whole time. And what are you supposed to do? Like, tap on his shoulder and be like, hey, sir, could you smell better? Or call the flight attendant and be like, can I not sit by the smelly guy?
Is this cologne or is this body odor?
Oh, it's the worst body odor.
Oh, okay.
Like, so like just came from a workout, 5-mile run, sweating, and then I'm going to travel somewhere.
Just going to go on the plane.
Came home and took a bath in a dumpster in between.
Yikes.
Yeah, okay. That's what happens when you don't have a girlfriend. You don't shower more.
Nah, Tony.
That might have been what was happening to Tony, pre-girlfriend.
This was Tony on your flight. You just didn't know him.
But the smell was so bad that it was like, with about 30 minutes left in the flight, it was like, I got to get off this plane. Like, the second this plane lands, I'm out of here. And I'm never that guy. Like, I can't stand when people...
Those people are annoying.
Like, skip the worst. Up the aisle a few rows. Like, just let everybody...
Sit your ass down. Like, you're sitting in the back for a reason. Let the people...
There's one door. Yeah.
Don't get me started, man.
But I was like, I got to get off this plane. And then I did when it landed, and I got off in such a hurry that I didn't remember the jacket until I got back to the hotel that night.
Yeah. And then it's already, like, in Topeka or whatever. It's gone.
Yeah, you're not getting that back almost ever. But I deserve it, probably.
I will say I left some clothes at the JW Marriott in San Fran this year. And I was – the next city was San Diego. So I get to San Diego that night, and I'm going through my bag, and I'm like, I'm missing all of my workout clothes.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, they're in the little drawer. And so I call the JW. I'm like, yo – oh, and shout out to the people at the JW because they were really helpful. I said, hey.
By you. Everyone else is at like the Fairfield Inn. But go ahead about the JW.
I said, hey, I think I left my set of clothes in the room. Shut up, Tony.
I kept waiting for him. When you said that you left some clothes in a hotel room, I almost was like, let's just pause and let Tony get whatever joke in that he wants to get.
Thank you,
Tony. Let him finish the story.
left some clothes, and she said, okay, I'm going to go send security up. Yep, they found them. We can FedEx them to you, and they should be in San Diego tomorrow. And they were. So wow. I appreciate them.
See, if you leave stuff at a hotel, you have a chance. I'm imagining that those work those are workout clothes, though. They those might have been a little ripe.
No, they were clean. They were clean.
Oh, okay. All right, good. Then you weren't asking too much of the hotel.
No, not at all.
What's see, the that's weirdest thing? Because I left a pillow in a hotel once, and I called, and I was like, hey, is there any way you could like ship this to me? And they're like, no, that sounds complicated. Tough luck. And just hung up the phone. And I was just like, okay, I guess I'll exactly. buy a new pillow tomorrow.
Oh, man.
You should have just ruined the whole parade. Should have been like, yeah. Ha-ha, that's why you're s***. You guys got to keep it.
Oh.
I could have done that. You're right. I in the moment, I didn't think about that. But that, in hindsight, that would have been a better choice.
I'll note that, Russ. Don't worry.
Thank you.
You know, in fact, me and Cam are kind of like the same person. We just switched jobs. Like what I mean? I used to work at the Score. Now we're at NBC. He used to work at NBC. Now he works at the Score.
Mm-hmm. How does that make you the same person? That's not even.
I feel like we vibe on a similar level.
Okay. Yeah. So you've worked at the opposite places and you like each other.
Yeah.
And that makes you like twins.
But see, Tony left his job on purpose. And that's the thing.
That's Cam's aunt died. Cam's like, you might have heard I got fired from my job.
I'm not mad at him. I'd bring it up too.
He's like, that's why I'm dressed like this. That's why I kind of don't have it together today. Sorry, guys.
You may have seen it on Awful Announcing recently.
So I was walking around Walmart the other day, and like, you know, when the kids are going back to school, they have the notebooks out and the composition notebooks with the black and white on the front, yes. and pencils and pencil bags. And it brought me back to a space where I'm just like, man, I've been out of college for a couple of years now. And as a kid, when you're in it, you're just like, oh my God, I hate school. And while I was not a fan of school per se, like school was fun. Like maybe not the learning part and maybe a little bit of the learning part, but like the things that you learn about life in school that are super valuable that you don't even think about for a long time. Like I started having those thoughts. And so one of the things I thought about was like, were you guys good students? Like, did you do your homework, honor roll, get things done? Did you answer questions? I'll start off to let you guys think.
Okay.
I was a pretty decent student. So like honor roll and stuff, but there was always a caveat. Like from the time I was in first grade to the time I was in high school, my teachers will always say this at the parent teacher conference. Russell is such a great student. If he tried a little bit more, he could be a straight A student. Like it was always that. It's like if he focused a little bit more, he could be. And so it wasn't to say that I wasn't smart or wasn't doing well. Like I was getting like a 3.5 or whatever. But they always felt like I kind of like phoned it in because it's like, I'm cool with 3.5, which I was. I was totally cool with 3.5.
I would love a 3.5. Yeah.
Like, I had, but it's just like, 3.5 is cool. Like, why are we pushing me for straight A's here?
Like, 3.5 is like the perfect level where you don't try too hard, which is important in high school and below. Like, there's a level of not trying that you need to pull off.
It wasn't like I was getting like a 2.1.
Student. Right.
Yes.
Like, it tells people that you're smart, but you're not a try hard. And that's like the place to be in high school.
I'm with you. 100%. Yeah. Like, that's a valuable skill. Like,
it really
be
is.
Smart, do well, be engaging in class, but you don't have to be the...
You can get a C every once in a while. Like, it's cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, the people... Oh, my God. The people who used to cry when they got a B. Yeah. Come on, man. There's a special place for those people.
Yeah. I was a terrible student basically every single year I went to school ever. Just like really just a awful student.
But you're smart.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, Cam is smart.
I just like people would tell me that I like the homework is due, and I would be like, "No, it's not."
and the teacher would come around.
Yeah, yeah. And no, I just it was so boring to me, and I just like couldn't pay attention. And yeah, like I sort of had a natural ability to test well, I guess. But no, yeah. My parents, like, to this day, are just still get mad at me. They're like, it didn't have to be like that, man. It really did not have to be like that. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. It kind of felt like it did. No, I don't ever – people are like, oh, I miss school. And I'm just like, no, I'm sorry. Like, I would do 8 billion jobs that I hated before I ever went back to school. I just, like, no, thank you. Which is a really hard take, I feel like, but –
No, absolutely not. You're
now
fine.
I'm fired up about it. Like, no way.
Yeah, Kevin's like, F school, man.
yeah. Write this down for my therapy session next week. Like, I forgot about school.
Yeah, and then they asked me to, like, read, and then I got into a really dark place.
And, like, some of the books you read are kind of like, I look back and I'm like, why was I reading this book? Like, I don't really get it anymore. Students that become teachers in college, and you realize like what a teacher's life is like outside of teaching, and you're like, oh, like a lot of you guys didn't care at all. Like, and some of you did. Yeah. Like, some people have good teachers, but a lot of you guys just did this to like live.
You were moving cattle, yes.
Right? Yeah. So I really got my like being friends with people in college that were teachers really peeled the curtains back on like what a lot of I feel like teaching is, because I was like, oh wow. You guys don't really put nearly as much effort into it as I thought you did.
Russ, do you know the movie School of Rock with Jack Black?
Yes.
Where he teaches music? I love that movie. Mm-hmm. I will stay and watch that movie like every time if it's on. He has a great line in there where he says, those who can't teach, teach gym. Tony, I'm thinking Tony was probably like me in the sense that he also didn't like homework. I'm with you, Cam. I blew off a lot of homework back in my day. But oh man, this is the rough part, Russ. Like you live with every week that your parents listen to every minute of every episode that we do. And my mom has always said that she listens to every minute. And I've always been kind of like, not sure if she really does, but now she started commenting like every Thursday or Friday, sending me texts about the show. So my mom will be listening to this. And my mom will find out that copying homework like 5 minutes before school started in the morning was routine. Tony, you were in on that too?
It works.
Oh, yeah. I did well at school, so much so that they thought I was smart until they actually pulled me aside and like make you take these extra, like, oh, we got to see if this kid's a genius type thing. And they're like, oh, no, you're not any type of genius. I was like, I could have told you that.
I've never been to a library.
Right.
I've just never been to one, but don't believe in them.
Yeah. I mean, my whole existence at school was, I know I need to get good grades. How do I do that with the least amount of effort possible?
Exactly.
So, you know, like we had this thing. I went to a fine and performing arts elementary school. So they had this section called library where we had to do like 5 book reports like a month or so. So I had 5 at the beginning of the year and I just rotated them every month until the school year ended, and she never found out. And that's how I just game the system. And I feel like that's what all kids should do. That's how you be successful at life. Learn the tricks and secrets to get good grades, but don't actually ever read the things or do the things. Just find a way.
That's what I'm talking about. These teachers are getting gamed by 10-year-olds. Yeah. Like, what's going on here?
Right.
That shouldn't be happening. Right. A 10-year-old shouldn't be able to pull one over on a year's worth of book reports on an adult teacher.
Imagine 12-year-old Anthony Gill gaming Miss Johnson out of book reports for a year. Like, come
like,
on.
You're, of course you're never going to do work again. Like, if you pull that off, like, you're never doing it again.
See, look, that's why Tony's the way he is now, because at 12, he was, you know, getting over on 40-year-olds that were supposed to do this job. Yes.
You think I actually know how to edit audio? I've been YouTubing it my whole career.
I wouldn't be surprised, Tony. You got people to pay you all this money for editing like a guru, and you're just like, I just went on YouTube.
Vibes of a guru. Russ, can't you picture him like 5th or 6th grade? I mean, his entire school experience at that age, I feel like, was just scheming. Just walking down the hall, rubbing his hands together, just scheming up the next scheme.
A menace. I do want to say, like, I feel all four of us are like this, so I feel comfortable sharing this. So, like, I was a good student and respectful, but, like, there's something about being, how do I say this? You feel more mature than the other kids. And so, like, sometimes I'd probably be a smart ass to some of my teachers, right? Little remarks to make the kids laugh and all that. That was me. Because there was actually a couple occasions. I'm trying to figure out which one of the stories I want to tell.
Oh, man, Russ was a wild boy.
No, all right, so in third grade, we're learning about Billy Sunday, right? Famous baseball player who became a preacher and all that good stuff. And so Billy Sunday played for the Chicago White Stockings, which ended up being the Cubs. But my teacher kept saying, Billy Sunday played for the White Sox. And me being the knowledgeable sports person I was even at 10 years old, I said, hey, that's wrong. And she was just like, no, it's right here in the book. He played for the Chicago White Sox. I said, it's White Stockings. They became the Cubs. And then she goes, why would White Stockings become Cubs and not White Sox? And I said, ma'am, you're wrong. And you're going to teach these kids the wrong thing. Like, what are you doing? I got a detention. Right, I was right. Top. Yeah, I was just like, I was right. Because then we're going back and forth. And all the kids are like giggling like, ooh, he got you. And so then now you have a teacher getting told by a 10-year-old, even though I was right. And so that was kind
we
of
we got my, that part, Russ. We all noted the part about you were right. We know we got that.
But I was though. But I got a detention for being right.
Did she ever come back and say like, "Hey, you were right"?
No.
She just went.
Russ is still waiting.
Like, I'm never going to acknowledge this.
All these years later, still waiting for my apology.
Yeah. You got to use this. You got to use your position to be like, "Hey, I was right about this, and I know." Like, I'm going to
tweet that out. Tweet out her name and everything. Let the Twitter followers find this lady and demand your apology. Nah. Use the full weight of the Sun Times.
There's a second story. So in high school, I wasn't the best like math student, right? So sometimes I'd ask more questions. I don't know what it was with my algebra teacher, but she like was on that with me. So one day I asked her, I'm going to say her name on this pod, and then I'll decide if I want Tony to bleep it out. Miss Messman, right? She goes, she's explaining something. I raise my hand and she turns around after looking at the board and she says, why am I not surprised, Russell Dorsey?
Oh boy.
And all the kids start giggling and stuff. I'm like, the words I was thinking, I couldn't say to a teacher in school. Like, I wasn't that kid, but I should have said it. So after she did that and after the kids were laughing, I was just like, you know what? F my question. I'm going to say this. We don't need any of this anyway. I'm never going to use this, right? Because, like, now my feelings was hurt. It's like, you got the kids.
Yeah, now you're going nuclear.
Right. And so she was like, well, if you want to be like that, you can get out of the class. And I'm just okay. Here we go. I was like, fine, whatever. Class is almost over. And then she was like, you need to come back here after school, and I'll tell you exactly why you need this in your regular life. And I'm like, all right, fine, I'll be here. Come back after school because I was about it. Shut up, Tony.
That's not what kind of story it is, Tony.
I came back. She was not there because she wasn't with the shits like that. So, Miss Messman, F you.
Rusty,
maybe that was the lesson. She was teaching you that, like, you can't always depend on people to show up when they need you to. You know, that's the life lesson there.
Do you think Tony doesn't realize that he's kind of pushing you to the edge already in the second segment of the show, or does he not care?
I don't think there's care there. I bet he care when we stop writing them checks. I bet that's when it happens.
Now, when you get in this, we'll call it a disagreement with the teacher, Rusty.
Yeah.
Are your parents backing you or backing the teacher?
Yeah.
I'm right.
Your parents are like, hey, right. Son, you were right to smart off to your parents. They're like, it's cool that you smarted off the teacher because she was wrong. Or
the one in third grade, I think my mom was just like, you can be right. And also, like, you didn't have to say that in front of the whole class. But I'm like, ma, she was wrong in front of the whole class. Like, who's going to tell her? Like, we're just going to have a whole bunch of kids saying the wrong thing. The one about my.
That's so nice that they're supportive, though. I feel like my parents are just like, I don't care. If the teacher said it, do it.
Not always. Like, there'd be like the one in high school. I was right about that too, but you know, I didn't get in trouble and they didn't call, but like they weren't happy that I said that to the teacher in the class.
What Cam described is probably my wife's philosophy, and my philosophy a lot of times with our kids is, you know, if you broke a rule, but the rule is stupid, then, you know, you're right.
See, that's
not, we get in a lot of money. We don't always see eye to eye on things like that.
I can't remember my parents ever being like, yeah, you made the right decision. Maybe because I didn't ever make the right decision in high school, but they're always just like, no, like that was wrong. And I was like, but I feel like I was really right. And they're like, I don't know. But like, if you got told you're wrong, you were wrong. And I was like, oh.
You know, what's funny is like, what's the greater lesson? Like, there's three things. It's like getting the actual answer correctly. Or like having... you respect the authority figure, you know, regardless of what's going on. Or is there like a middle ground there where you're like, I need to be right, you know, right here, and I gotta find a way to tell the teacher that she's wrong?
I think as you get older you come up after class and be like, hey, I don't think that was right. As a kid with ego, especially after you feel like, all right, now I got to get the crowd back on my side because here they go giggling and sniggling at me. I think as a kid, you learn that later in life. But not in the moment. You're like, I got to get the crowd back on my side and get these jokes off.
I was going to say, in high school, I feel like it's way more of just like being a clown than it is like,
for sure,
the teacher you're right about anything. Like, you don't really care if you're right. You're
just to win. I got to win fourth period.
The fellas love this.
Right.
I love it. Yeah.
Right.
You're, I got to win fourth period. On them. Yeah.
Well, that's worth more socially. That's more social capital than
For sure. You
know, getting an A- on the test.
Like, you can go argue with your sociology teacher in college. Like, there's time for that.
Like, think about my life now. I write about who hit a home run. Like, what I need algebra 2 for? Get out of here.
Right. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So in the long term, I was still right.
Do you remember the last time you used like math you learned in high school? Like, has there been any time in the last month where you're like, oh shit, like I did math, like that was great?
Cam, not in the last 3 years.
No, I bet not. Yeah,
I feel like some of that stuff I use, not exactly, but use theoretically. Like problem solving, right? Just how to maneuver through life, solving issues based off of whatever algebra thing is, because the math does make sense in terms of it's always going to be this way in terms of the facts of the situation. It's just, how do I replace this with said real life situation on how to problem solve throughout my life?
If Tony has $100 and his girlfriend has $0, how many dollars does Tony actually have?
$0.
Exactly.
Wow, that's so useful. I would never thought about that.
You gotta make it practical. Like this,
right?
The train is moving at 47 miles an hour. If you drive 20 miles an hour, how long will it be before the train makes this? Like, nobody cares about that. I'm gonna put it in Google Maps.
Knowing how he's been the last few months, I feel like if you asked him that question, he would just stare at you blankly. But if you told him, the problem is Tony needs to pick up his girlfriend in 47 minutes and Tony can only drive 35 miles an hour, leaving at 6:15, what time? Tony would know the answer like before you even finished it.
For sure.
Suddenly he knows math. Yeah, it'd be like that. Yeah.
So it's really just about changing the situations. Like, sitting there being like, right, like I'm not gonna race a train in my car anytime soon. Like, I don't really know. Exactly. I don't know, guys. I don't know. So, wow. Exactly. We solved teaching right here. What a useful first 40 minutes of this podcast.
Listen, can I tell you about my favorite teacher that I ever had, Russ?
Yes, please.
This was for world history, and this was in high school. This was not as a kid. This was like junior year of high school. We had this teacher, and world history was a very easy class because the class periods were about 50 minutes or so. And every day there would be a 20-minute lesson, and then he'd put on a movie for the next 30 minutes. And it'd always be some old movie that you'd tune out of or whatever. And the tests in this class were all multiple choice, and they were all like this. It'd be like, who built the pyramids? A, Mike Ditka, B, Mike Singletary, or C, the Egyptians. I'm not kidding you, man. There was a fake Chicago Bears answer on every single one of these.
It's so Chicago. That's such a Chicago thing.
Yes. But the thing is, and the guy wore a Bears sweatshirt every day. He's an older guy. I think he went to sleep when we were watching the movies every day. But the grade scale in this class, I've never heard of anything like this. When you go to college, sometimes, and this wasn't every class, I don't think, when I was in college, but it was some, where you, instead of getting a 90 to qualify for an A like you did in high school, you had to get like a 93 was the baseline to get an A. And some of my classes at Tulane. In this class back in high school, the threshold for an A was 86. And the threshold for a B was like 75. I mean, this was on paper in the syllabus. And you're taking tests like I described. But every day when he would put on the movie, after a while, I figured this out because it seemed like he was just going to sleep during the movie. I would say, I'd wait. I was sly about it. I'd wait about 4 or 5 minutes into the movie, and then I'd ask him if I could go to the bathroom. And I would just leave and go to whatever lunch period was going on that day and hang out with my friends. And I thought, this is great. This is fantastic. But one day, maybe he wasn't asleep because I came back. You always had to come back for like maybe the last minute of class.
Right.
You can be like, yeah, I was in the bathroom that whole time. He had locked the door and taped to the outside of it was a referral with my name on it.
Man.
So I came back to a locked door and a trip to the dean's office.
So he was playing the long game with you. He was just letting you go, building up your confidence, and then, wow.
Yes.
I love it. I look back on it now, and I'm like, how did I do this? I would just put my head down and sleep, like, through entire classes. Mm-hmm. And, like, I look back on it now, I'm like, that was so rude and also just, like, so inconsiderate. Can you imagine if you're a teacher and you're just sitting there and a bunch of 15-year-olds are just like, I'm not even going to take a book out of my backpack. Like, I'm just going to put my head on this desk and just sleep for 50 minutes. And I just thought it was, like, fine to do in the moment. I look back, I'm like, damn. I was an asshole. That's so mean. Like, it's the
moral of the story.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Cam Ellis's 11 Bears thoughts.
All right, so Cam, we brought you on here as a Bears expert. We're bringing on a guest to talk about the Bears. You cover the Bears. You cover them very well, especially on Twitter. And one of the local media outlets here has a weekly thing called 10 Thoughts About the Bears. And I thought we can top that. We can go to 11. We're going to do Cam Ellis's 11 Thoughts About the Bears.
Thoughts, not observations, to be clear. The SEO is important there.
Yes. Are you going from 1 to 11 or from 11 down to 1, your best one, Cam?
What's your plan? That's a good question. I did actually think, like, I should probably, like, layer, like, the second best one to start and then the best one for last. No, I'm just going to shoot them all out there. Some are going to be funny and some are going to be not funny at all. And we're just going to learn on the ride here. And some of them are questions, which I think will help.
Number one, Cam.
Number one is Which close family member or friend do you think told Matt Nagy this at some point this summer that visors were ugly?
It's a good one. He like, looks much better with the with the baldy, just rocking it with the.
He just stopped wearing the visor for no reason, and like at the beginning of the year, he was like talking about how it puts a weird tan on his head, and you're like, yeah, man, wear a hat. I don't know. We need to figure it out. Someone told him though. Someone broke it to him softly though.
For sure. Man,
but let's get it out here. Number two, do you think PR drew straws to announce the Dalton news today after Matt Nagy said that nothing was going to happen and they came back and were like, no, something happened? Or do you think like that just goes to the senior guy?
I think they drew straws on who got to.
You think so? You think they like took joy in being able to tell the media that? That's fair. Okay. Number three. Probably not a great sign of the Bears' influence on Chicago when the easiest player to get in touch with is Devin Hester.
Yikes.
Just saying.
He's everywhere right now.
Cam is on that today.
I was writing these down, being like, some of these are just insults. Like, I think people are just going to be like kind of mad by the end. Like, for instance, number four, I love home openers because it's the only time that Bears fans can say the Bears are back and it actually makes sense.
Damn.
So there's that. See, some of them aren't gonna be funny. I told you. number five. You know, I was thinking about this, and people are talking about how quarterbacks are divas now, and I sort of agree with that. But also, like, there is not a single part of my job that I would take a bone bruise in my knee for, like, at all. And Andy Dalton just like went back out there and was like, "No, the shame of losing my job doesn't hurt as bad as a bone bruise in my knee does." So shout out Andy Dalton. He's not a diva.
He knows that. He knows they're looking for a reason. Looking for a reason.
I was thinking about like what injury it would have had to take for him to be like, yeah, I'm not going to come back into this game, because he knew what was happening. Like, the second you don't play anymore, you know what's happening there, don't you?
Yeah, there are people in that building that are like, nah, Andy got a bad haircut. Justin, get in here.
No, they went into the locker room and Dalton was like, do we have to amputate? They said no. He's like, I'm going back out there.
Justin was just like, where's the morphine? I don't care.
Right. This is not going to be my last contract.
Yeah. Speaking of contracts, Eddie Jackson's contract not looking too hot. I like the number change because I think it's fun that Eddie Jackson is changing his number every year based on how many tackles he plans on making. So that was the one where I was like, I hope Eddie Jackson doesn't hear this. I was like, that's just really mean.
I hope he doesn't listen to the show or follow Russ on Twitter.
But if he was behind.
That's been Russ's favorite target lately.
Does he follow you on Twitter?
No, it was after the performance he put on in week one, I had a tweet that went viral that said, has anybody seen, we need to put Eddie Jackson on a milk carton. I haven't seen him since 2019. And it got lots of retweets and stuff, but he had just been bad. Like, he hadn't had a takeaway before Sunday since 2018.
Yeah. And he also just like
touchdowns taken away from him by the refs, Russ. I don't know if you've heard. He's only brought it up like
they love day. Telling me. They love telling us that, right?
He was also one of the leading factors behind the haters board. Remember that, Jason, from last year when they put all the messages from the media and like the haters, they put all the boards up in the locker room and they would just like play it on loop every single day to motivate them to go 8-9. I remember Eddie Jackson being like, yeah, like that was Bauer's big part of that. Like, all right, man, whatever you say.
What number are we on here, Cam? Is it seven?
We're on seven. I was watching the Bears and the Bengals.
Hold on, man. I got to produce this a little bit. This is Cam's. This is thought number seven in Cam's 11 thoughts. Cam Ellis's 11 thoughts about the Bears.
Number seven. Well, I was watching the Bears and the Bengals, and when people were like, you know, writing important football notes, it dawned on me that I think I take football teams more seriously when they don't dress like their mascots.
Oh.
Like, think about all the sports teams you take seriously, and do any of them dress up like the mascots? Like,
because their helmets have tiger stripes, you're saying,
right? Yeah, and like the Dolphins are bright green with a Dolphins logo. Like, no one takes the Ducks, Oregon Ducks, that seriously because they dress up like ducks. Like, the Clemson, the only Tigers team that is good, doesn't dress up like Tigers. Alabama, all red. Like, I think the Bears get away with stuff because they don't dress up like bears.
Because they're not like, hey, we're actual bears. Like they're right. They're not that into it. Like they're still kind of cool about it.
Right.
Okay.
They're not coming out of the tunnel like roar. Right.
And like the Bengals. Are so deeply unserious. Like they're just the lamest.
Right.
That is exactly how I view it. Okay. Speaking of jerseys, this is actually great.
Number eight, Cam.
Number eight. Do you guys remember when Justin Fields threw out the first pitch?
Correct.
The White Sox game. And he was the only one in his own jersey.
He was, I think, the only one in the black jersey too. Didn't he have a different color jersey than the rest of the class?
And all the other rookies were white. And I want to know how many rookies were like, yo man, this sucks. Like, no way. or if everyone's like, no, I get it. Because like I would be mad. I think I would be like a little bit salty about it. Wouldn't you?
Yes.
If we all got hired.
The alternative you're saying is that they all look at him and they're like, no, you're right. He's better than us.
Right.
Yes. I think that's what the people are thinking, man. Like, hey, man, that's the future of the franchise right there. I'm a backup defensive tackle. Like, nobody even knows my name.
My first name is Larry.
But you don't have to make it so obvious right off the bat. Like, half those guys aren't even on the team anymore. Like, let them give them the black jerseys too. Damn, White Sox. But yeah. I'm still mad about it. Number nine. Let's see here. Oh, Jason, you like this one. I think the Bears beat is angrier at Matt Nagy right now than Bears fans are.
That's a neck and neck, man. That's too close to call right now, probably.
Because they're really mad. Like, the questions aren't even like gotcha questions anymore. They're just like, tell us, man. Just tell us. Like, cut the shit. Let's just tell us.
Monday about Andy Dalton's knee, it was open revolt.
Really, and they're just like the shtick with Matt is gone now. It's just like, Matt, just like, tell us, please.
Yes.
And that's a tough group, so I would be the friendliness is gone, which I guess happens.
Can we take a timeout?
Yeah.
So when that happens, does he get ripped for that? Because I know beats are different here in the city of Chicago. So like, mm-hmm. some beats won't rip a manager, coach, or player for something like that. But I feel like something like that, that's something that you get ripped for. Like, is that a rippable offense?
Which part?
The super dodginess about something that shouldn't be dodgy.
I don't think anybody is pulling punches with Matt Nagy. I can't speak for everybody that covers the team. I can tell you the Sun Times is not pulling punches on Matt Nagy.
Look, I'm gonna tell you something about our the Cubs beat. If something like that took place, especially when you're not winning, the Rip City.
I think that they do a pretty good job of being like, no, Matt. Like, that's, but at the same time, like, he's so good at turning questions into 45 seconds of word salads that you just like forget what question you asked by the end. Correct. And you're just like, okay. And like, he like uses your name once because that's, you know, PR step number one. And they're like, oh yeah, say his name back, and they won't ask another question.
Like how you used to go to sleep in school, Cam. Like, I've not gone to sleep during a press conference, but I have zoned out completely to where I got to read the transcript to see what that question was, because I just kind of, my eyes glazed over and I just lost track of it.
I feel bad because you can tell that someone just wants to be like, no, bullshit. Like, I want someone to just like say it out loud once.
I mean, that happens in a slightly politer way, but it has been happening.
But you can tell that like people want to be less polite about it.
There's been some interrupting. There's like, no. You don't get to keep doing. You don't keep talking. Next question.
You can't filibuster.
Right. Yeah. We're not doing a 10-minute answer about Nick Foles. Next question.
That, which is true. Cause that's sometimes they just like let people go on. And I always appreciate when people like stop a coach mid question. Just like, no, that was not what I was asking.
Number 10
is, do you think it's hard for Pat O'Donnell to pretend that his warm-up takes as long as everyone else's?
Yes. Like, the life of a long snap. Ah, love it.
Like what are you doing the whole time? Like, Khalil Mack's out there, like, getting all his fast twitch muscles in and, like, activating everything, and Pat O'Donnell is just like, punting the ball and then running back and getting it and then punting it again. Like, what do you do the rest of the time? I always wonder, like, what do you think he has a full regimen of stuff?
Ride the bike, stretch.
I guess. I don't
know. That has to be it, right?
But also, don't you have all game to also do that? Like, you're not playing except for three other times. Like, couldn't you do that in the second quarter, too? I wonder if he can, like, show up earlier or something, or later, I guess I should say.
Now, that punter in particular, though, Russ, like, he's not skipping any days in the weight room.
No.
Pat O'Donnell looks like he could play safety.
He's also punting well, and I love talking about it because everyone's like, cool, I guess. I don't know. But, like, his punts, he's playing kind of well, I guess, as far as punts goes. I don't know.
We did a Bears stat, like, months ago where I informed Russ that during his lifetime on the planet, that no team has punted more than the Bears. If he has watched the Bears game since – Bears play since the day he was born, he has seen the most punts in the NFL.
Like, you know that for sure?
Oh, yeah, I looked it up. Oh, yeah, wow. No, not a joke. See, that's the thing about covering the Bears is a lot of things that you say about them sound like a joke. And you're like, no, stop laughing.
That's real.
Yeah, I'm reporting this.
Especially if someone's like really deadpan about it. And you're like, oh, yeah, I get like the Bears, man, you know. And they're like, no, seriously, that
you're like, happen. Yeah, listen, everybody, listen. They traded a fourth round pick for Nick Foles and they're going to pay him $24 million for 3 years. And everyone just cracks up. And you're like, no. I'm reading you the transaction report. It happened.
Yeah. And then they're going to not ever like actually play him and let him lose to Mitch Trubisky. And then anyways, number 11, ending on a strong note. I think that the Bears, this is what conspiracy theory. So Tony, this is for you.
Great. Here we go.
I think that the Bears took away the halftime dog Frisbee show because the crowd liked it way more than any of the other quarters. And it got really awkward. And so, like, it was just really awkward that everyone was excited for the halftime show instead of the actual football they paid for, and that's why you no longer see dogs at the halftime show. Catching
the highlight of the afternoon. Obvious Shirts, Russ. You can get 10% off at Obvious Shirts, by the way, by using promo code Adjacent10. I'm guessing one of their ideas that they were planning was to do a shirt that says "I go only for the halftime dog show."
I mean, they're really impressive dogs. You look at them and you're like, oh, I was expecting you to catch the Frisbee, but I wasn't expecting you to like jump off of other dogs and catch the Frisbee. Like there's a level of training there that I was like, oh, you put the work in. I like that. Good for you.
The dogs are getting more first downs than the Bears offense.
Hey, there we go. Moving the ball way better. I think they'll bring that back, Cam. If they get back to the 2019 weekly tradition of booing the team off the field at halftime, I think they're going to need the dogs back just to keep people there and kind of, you know, get morale up a little bit for the third quarter.
They should just bring out like the therapy dogs at halftime and just like cycle people on in the field, like pet a golden retriever for half a minute and then keep going and be like, oh, enjoy. I hope this was soothing for you.
We started our fun segment last week about Tony adulting. And I think it went really well. And
very popular.
Yeah, we got to go live.
My mom in particular thought that was great, by the way.
I think it's good. Like, once again, Tony is going to be 30 years old here soon. So we got to stop treating him like a 16-year-old, all right? And so me and Jason are going to be presenting him with more things that he's going to run into or has run into as an adult. Yeah. And so we have a couple more here this week. These, Tony, I think you'll enjoy. You know, they're about your morning routine, right? So things that happen to you early in the day, or I'll make the caveat when you wake up, because you know, for you and I, we wake up a little bit later than Jason does. Like I'll wake up at 10:45 and I've had four messages from Jason Leisure already. one was at 6:45 in the morning.
Training camp, and I did not want to be up at that time. Cam, just to catch you up, since you weren't here last episode. On the debut of this, we're basically taking him through a training course.
Sure, yeah.
Much like what you would have to go through to become a CPA or a physician's assistant or something like that. Mm-hmm. Kind of taking Tony week by week with different scenarios. Last week we did a nice dinner out and how to handle certain things in that case. Mm-hmm. Today, as Russ said, we're covering what adults do in the morning.
Okay. Right. I feel like I know what I do in the morning, so I think I can help.
Okay. Are you helping us or are you part of the class?
I think I'm one of
the teachers or one of the students in this. What kind of guy?
I was
going to
say, I think. Let him be a GA. Let him be a graduate assistant.
Yeah, I was going to. Yeah, he could be the GA and like a lifeline for Tony if he's veering off track here.
I'll be like the cool teacher that like lets us go to like a bar for class and is like teaching you, but also like tries to be a friend.
Just trying to get him hammered. Yeah. All right. So this is the first one for you, Tony. what time, and I'll put an asterisk by this, what time does a normal adult wake up in the morning? Ooh. Asterisk. We'll put an asterisk by it because there's a caveat to that.
Person with a normal job, Tony, what time do they get up in the morning? Adult.
I'm going to say 6:30.
That's acceptable. That's in the range.
I think that's in the range.
Yeah.
I was going to say that between 6:30 and 7:30, I was going to say one of the caveats is people with kids wake up a lot earlier than people without kids, right? Mm-hmm. Because you got to get the kids up, get them cleaned up, mm-hmm. get them to the bus stop or drive them to school, whichever that you do as a family. So, but yeah, I'd say between 6:30 and 7:30, that's when most adults get up for 9 to 5.
I don't remember the last time I've actually seen 6:30.
I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. Yeah. I am, as we talked about in pre-pro, am not a morning person and had to get up for a flight at 6 in the morning. Rough. It's a rough time.
But, like, can you get out of bed? Like, or is it something where, like, if I don't set an alarm, I'm not going to wake up?
Well, if I miss my flight, it's going to be trouble. So, yeah, I can get up.
I think that leads to our next question in the quiz here for Tony.
Do you want to do it, Jason, or you want me to do it?
Tony, let's say you have to get up early. And I don't mean early for you, which would be like 9:45. Let's say you have to get up at 6. You have to, okay? Let's say you got a flight at, 8 a.m. So you probably
That was me the other day.
Right. 8 a.m., which sounds like a normal hour to most people, but if you tell me I have an 8 a.m. flight, it's torturous. Tony,
thank you.
What is your system for making sure that you get up on time?
I brush my teeth. I wash my face.
No, Tony.
I shower.
Stop, please. You're not.
You're not listening, sir.
No. You're just like listening. This isn't Family Feud. Mm-hmm. This isn't Family Feud. And the question was things people do in the morning, and you just start mm-hmm. blurting out. Like,
survey says.
Yeah. On the board. No. Like okay. Let me just be transparent. I suspect that how you get up on time when you have to get up early is you tell your mom to come wake you up. So I want to know, how do you think a grown up makes sure that they.
Damn.
How do you think a grown-up makes sure that they get up on time when they have to get up early?
I thought you meant, what do I do to get prepared for that?
Yeah, flight? Well, the reason you thought that is understandable is because mm-hmm. you weren't listening at all.
How do you make sure you get up and you make your flight, Tony?
Just set the alarm. These are boring answers, though.
I was going to say, like, Tony seems
to have. No, it's not. Like, are you setting one? Are you set? You trust yourself to set one and you're going to get up?
Oh, yeah. Because I'm practically giving myself, like, radioactive, like, bad things because I sleep right next to my phone. So the alarm is, like, right there, so.
No, you've gotten this one wrong. An adult makes sure, absolutely, that they get up on time. So let me give you an example. There are many ways to do
that. How's that wrong?
Yeah, I was like, I thought he got that right.
Yeah, no. I'm confused.
No, one alarm is not safe when you have to get up.
Oh, okay.
Let's say this is for something important, like catching a flight where it's not waiting for you. You show up late, you're out of luck,
mm-hmm.
okay? There are many ways to do this, and I'd like to hear Russ's too. I'll tell you what my system is. It's three alarms. It's one at the time I need to get up. It's one for like 5 minutes after that. And it's one for the absolute drop dead time that I have to get up. Like if everything, it's like for 10 minutes before I have to leave. So like three is the safety net for that. What do you do, Russ, to make sure you get up early enough?
I can wake up off the first one because, like Tony, the phone's next to the bed, but I do set a backup to just in case, because you never know. Like, it's happened where
the lady next to you?
Stop it, Tony.
All right, so question number three.
Tony, this segment, you're supposed to be listening and taking notes. Cam, how do you make sure you get up on time?
I am a two-alarm person, but twist for you, I make sure one of my alarm is not on my phone because sometimes my phone doesn't charge at night, and if my phone dies, I'm cooked.
Why does your phone not charge at night? You wake up with a dead phone? That's the worst.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes
what
I
do
just
you
like,
even do all day?
Oh, I not use a phone. But like sometimes I don't charge it. I don't always just plug it in at night. Like if it's fully charged, I'll just leave it out. But sometimes it dies overnight and you lose your alarm. So I have like a really old clock radio that just makes like the most shrill noise in the world. And it gets me out of bed.
Tony, that's also an acceptable answer.
I feel like Tony had it though. Like I was expecting a much worse answer than just set one alarm.
Okay, well, there's some nuance to this because when Russ says that he sets one alarm, I feel like I'm not worried about that. Mm-hmm. When Tony says he sets one alarm, I'm like, if I'm ever going to be flying with Tony early, I better call him.
It's rolling the dice. I get it, but it could have been worse. It could have been like, I just trust myself to get out of bed. And that's where you're like, oh, okay.
This Tony, you also like not have car insurance? You got to have backup plans, man.
Car insurance is a scam. Insurance overall is a scam. Like, why do I have to pay this every month and I don't get in an accident and I don't get any return whatsoever? You just take my money. And it doesn't get stored up, right, for years and years of driving correctly. No, you get the same amount of money going back to you if something happens than all the money that you have accumulated from me from before. Like, that's this. It's, insurance is stupid. I hate insurance.
I do agree with that. It's necessary, but it is stupid.
I'm about to say I'm not doing this with either of you right now. So we're going. Cam, don't play into this nonsense. We're going to number three. Tony, what you've gotten yourself up, right? You're up. Mm-hmm. You're wide awake on to start your day at 10:15. Right? You're up. Right. What are you? What is an acceptable breakfast for an adult?
Cereal.
What kind of cereal, though?
Ooh, this is my wheelhouse. I love cereal. So right now at the crib, I got Fruity Pebbles. I got Lucky Charms.
You said you love cereal. I knew it was going to be just a series of wrong answers.
Frosted Flakes. I got Apple Jacks. I got Honeycomb.
You haven't named one
yet.
That's
so much cereal to have at one time.
Yo, that's hella cereal, bro. Like,
I need all the Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
The Gills are invested in like General Mills or something. That's a lot of cereal.
You go there like a bar. Do you want top shelf or do you want a well cereal?
They got cereal on tap. Yo, we got honeycombs. We got honeycombs if you want honeycombs.
Yes, sir.
We got generic Fruity Pebbles or we got the top shelf real thing from Post.
Like, I haven't seen Smacks in years. They got Smacks over here on tap at the Gill House.
Russ, not one of those that he named is an acceptable breakfast cereal for an adult. Cereal is fine, but none of those are.
Why not?
Well, I think if it's 100 different colors, you're already doing it wrong if you're a grown.
Hey, I'm going to take advantage of this young metabolism as much as I can until I can't eat that cereal. Problem.
I'm going to cut you off right there because you're almost 30 freaking years old. You've got to stop talking about yourself like you're 14.
He's not wrong, Tom. I'm going to give him that. He's not wrong.
What, Russ, help him out here. Anything, first off, anything with the word cashy on it, you're in the right section. But go ahead.
I think adult cereals, I think you can get away with Cheerios as an adult. You can get away with Raisin Bran as an adult. I'd even say
cardboard. You want me to eat cardboard?
Get that here. Sucks.
What's the point of living?
Hey, total. Tony.
Total.
Just say die. Checks. Just say death. How about that? That would be much easier.
Tony, can I help you out with another like kind of just guiding principle? If it comes with a toy, that's not it.
Ah, oh, man, those are the best things. Yeah. What?
See?
Also,
what? See?
So, also a acceptable, Tony, would be eggs.
Yes.
Some kind of lean meat like turkey sausage or turkey bacon.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Fruit. All right, hold on. Yes, fruit's unacceptable. Lean meat, we're getting very dietary here. Like, you can throw some bacon on the plate and it'd be okay.
Regular bacon. Okay. All right. Okay.
But that also requires me to get up earlier, and I'm like, eh.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
Tony, I wake up at. Tony, I wake up later than you.
I wake up at 11.
You have to. I wake up at 11 too. And
by the time I'm like, by the time I wake up and it's like, it's lunch, and it's like, I don't feel like making breakfast. I'll eat cereal.
My 10-year-old gets up in the morning and makes eggs. Come on, man.
Ah, that's too early.
Cam, what about you? What's breakfast for you, adult Cam?
Breakfast for me is, I'm not actually a big breakfast person. Like, I usually just have coffee and water until like 1 p.m.
That's kind of an adult breakfast too, but in a sad way.
It's so sad.
The only thing you're missing there to eat the food groups is a cigarette.
It's just like me not eating. There's nothing really adult about that. But like toast, I love everything bagel seasoned on toast. Little butter, little everything bagel seasoning on it. Choice. Bananas.
Okay.
Easy.
I was going to say the real adult answer is breakfast for dinner, but that's a whole different topic.
Breakfast for dinner. That's fire.
Russ, you're going too off the script.
Is that too much? That's too much?
You're going to just lose Tony. Yeah, we got to keep him focused here.
But he said he was all for breakfast for dinner. I think breakfast for dinner is a very adult, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's something adults like.
It's a treat.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
It is a treat.
Yeah.
All right.
So maybe just finish the breakfast for dinner. There you go.
All right, Tony, last one. So we were talking about setting multiple alarms, and I hope you were listening during that. You need the fail safe. You need the one that goes off 10 minutes before you leave. Before you have to leave. But one way or another, you could end up in a situation where you oversleep and you wake up with only 10 minutes before you have to leave. And I need you to like really get into character here, Tony, and treat it like it's something important that you have to leave for. And you cannot be late, okay? Something work related probably. You have 10 minutes from the time you wake up to the time you got to be out the door. What are you prioritizing? What are you doing in those 10 minutes? What's got to happen?
Oh, you got to come up with the necessary lie that won't get you in trouble. You need all of that time and energy to make sure you have a very sound alibi as to why you are running late.
Okay, so you're already counting on being late. You're not going to leave in the 10 minutes that I allotted.
Yes.
You're going to be an hour late to work.
Yep. That's the number one thing you got to do as an adult is make sure you don't get fired from your adult job. And whatever you got to do, you got to sneak out somebody else, you got to sneak out a coworker, you know, got a side swipe. You got to say, hey, you know, this said employee or coworker kept me up late. Sorry, I had to work on their project. I think you should look over their stuff. You got to whatever you need to do to keep your adult job is, I'm assuming, is the right answer.
Tony, can I present you respectfully? Because, boy, what a speech. That was eloquent.
No, it was not. That was terrible.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Jason.
Can I present you with an alternative to that plan?
You may.
Be on time. Instead of all those lies and scheming and everything that I think you do as a hobby, even if it's not a necessity, let's pretend that you actually can take my advice and try to be on time. What's got to happen? What has to happen in those 10 minutes? You only have 10 minutes to get ready, so you can't do everything. What are you doing before you get out of the door? What are the absolute essentials?
Well, you got to wash the important areas. Like, okay, you have to.
All right. So that, we're going to say that's two of your minutes there.
Toothbrush washing is out, so you got to bring the mouthwash in the car with you. As a black man, you need to moisturize. You cannot be out here ashy.
Well, when you start a sentence like that, I'm not allowed to disagree. But
That's why I did
he's
that.
Not. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Tony. As a fellow black, I agree with you.
He could have prefaced his list of cereals with that, and I would have just had
to. He has to say yes. Now, see, you messed up, Jason. Now he's out of trick. He's going to be like, as a black man, he's going to say whatever nonsense he wants now.
Yeah.
And you got to sit there and take it.
When I'm like, hey, Tony, did you prepare the segment we asked you to do this week? And he's going to start his response with that. And I'm just like,
okay, man. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Sounds like a good enough reason to me.
Yeah. You got to pick your cleanest, most unwrinkliest thing. Just really quick, put that on.
Yeah, I think you're it. I think that's 10 minutes. I think you're at 10 minutes there.
All right, then we're out the door.
Okay. And so what are you gonna do for food?
You figure that out later.
Okay.
You missed that chance for food by being late.
Yeah, I agree. At that point,
right now, you're running.
You don't have time.
You're running off of adrenaline.
You can go hungry, but you can't go, undressed. And the one thing you said I object to strongly is you got to brush your teeth. I'd say that's number one.
I was gonna say
getting dressed, because obviously you gotta get dressed. Go ahead.
I was gonna say you can get away without the teeth brushing, but two things have to happen. Either you got the mouthwash, mm-hmm, or you got the pack of gum or Altoids in the car.
Both.
Right. Like something has to get rid of the funk.
Yeah.
But also I was gonna say you have to like wipe something down. Mm-hmm. You have to. Because you can't, like, you can have the freshest breath in the world, but if you still smell like ass, that's not really going to help you, right?
Yeah, that's what I said. You got to wash the essentials. Yeah, no, water. Wash the essentials.
So face, pits, privates.
Yes.
Got you.
Hey, it just occurred to him to wash his armpits and his face when you said that.
I'm going to say, for being a, like, teach Tony to be an adult segment, Tony being like, yeah, you know, you just got to figure out how to throw your coworkers under the bus and keep your job. Like, that's a pretty adult answer. Like, it seems like he's got it.
That is how the world works.
Yeah, like, that's pretty wise.
Cam, like, I wish I had done that. Maybe maybe me and Tony still be working together.
You're learning something new every day.
So last week we voted that Tony was got to be an adult for the, you know, the week, right?
Yeah.
Cam, you agreed that you thought Tony was pretty adult based on a lot of different factors this week.
I was impressed. I was expecting much worse. Yeah.
So Cam,
you were impressed by his adulthood, though. That's
right. That I'm now. We need to question Cam's adulthood.
I mean, I think Tony might be older than me. I'm not sure. Like, I'm just saying, I don't know.
Tony is 28, approaching 29 years old. Cam.
Oh, okay. I'm 29, so I'm not. Okay. 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 So I'm close.
So both of y'all don't have no excuse. Right.
Absolutely. That's the point. Yeah, that's
so
correct.
Cam voted yes. Jason, what are you voting?
No, I'm not. He needs to take this course, this lesson over again. I still haven't heard him list something that's acceptable for adult to eat for breakfast. So no.
I think.
That's a tough answer.
I'm going to go through it's the subjective. Four. So Tony, you.
No, it isn't.
You got the first one correct, right? Yes, mm-hmm. You got the time adults should wake up correct. Mm-hmm. I was a little wary of what you do to get up and setting one alarm. I think you're playing with fire and could be late. And if you're late, mm-hmm. I found out what you do when you got to call your boss and tell him that you're late. You're just going to start making shit up about people. So. Yeah.
But if I'm late, I feel like this guy's playing. I feel like this guy, God wanted me to be late. That's what I kind of feel like.
Maybe you're avoiding a car accident.
Exactly.
If you weren't no, Tony, don't work.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, now I found out that you blaming. You got to come up with any lie you can to keep your job. I can't say. I was feeling good about you being an adult for another week, Tony, but mm-hmm. I can't.
I don't know.
Clear
it feels
you
like
this week for adulthood.
It feels like I mastered adulthood. That's what I'm hearing.
Oh well, that feels wrong to you. That's also incorrect. No, when the question was you only have 10 minutes to get ready, and your answer instead of which an adult can get ready in 10 minutes, by the way, it's possible. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when your answer instead of brush my teeth, kind of clean myself up the best I can quickly, get dressed, and take some food with me in the car. When your answer instead was spend 15 minutes coming up with lies and schemes about why I'm going to be an hour late today, that was problematic for me.
Well, as a black man, Jason.
You got you. You got to shut up now.
I apologize.
I apologize.
Russ, would you like me to get you caught up on the news?
It's my favorite part of the show.
I know you love that question.
I do.
Only the important news here. Jets rookie quarterback Zach Wilson, the number two overall pick. I told you earlier I would have picked Justin Fields number two. And I'm not saying that. I had that in my mock drafts and everything. Best quarterback in college football, other than Trevor Lawrence. Totally finished product coming in. Unlike some of these guys like Zach Wilson that you have to project because they played at BYU. He had four interceptions in a 25-6 loss to the Patriots on Sunday. And his stats after two games are this. 56% completions, two touchdowns, five interceptions, a fumble. He's been sacked 10 times. And his passer rating is 56.
Let him fail on the job, man. He plays for the Jets. Never mind. Only go downhill for me.
That job is failing. To be a Jet, yeah. That's what they've been for. That's one of the franchises the Bears can look at and feel good about, Cam. They can look at that and be like, hey, we're doing all right.
But, like, are they? Like, you know, like, are the Bears doing that much better than the Jets? Do you think so?
Yes.
Not much better? Enough to be happy about?
Yes. Jets and Lions, maybe now Houston.
That's about it. Jacksonville, there's not many.
Houston's 2-0.
Yeah. I mean, somehow, I mean, yes. Somehow.
My thing on Zach Wilson, never trust a guy that couldn't kiss a girl in college.
I bet he did. I'm just going to say it. Like, I bet he did.
Padres stars.
Thank you.
Padres stars. Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. got into a little spat in the dugout. Russ, I'm sure you saw this as a baseball reporter. You could not have missed it. Had to be separated. I was reading a long article, very good article in the San Diego Times-Union about this, mm-hmm. and saying that this had been a problem brewing for a long time, that their manager is kind of not capable, has no real mm-hmm. influence or authority to kind of step in and stop this, or maybe no inclination to do so. I'm not sure. I think this speaks to a lot of frustration because the Padres were 17 games over 500 like a month ago.
Right.
And I was surprised to see that they had fallen so far. I hadn't really thought much about the Padres until recently when this came up. They've almost completely fallen out of the playoff race. They'll probably be out of the playoff race. They'll probably be eliminated by the time that this episode runs. What'd you make of this, Russ? This seemed like when you have Machado confronting him about being kind of childish, I would say. This seems like more than just your like run of the mill brush it aside teammate fight.
I think there's little brother big brother thing going here where Machado as the big brother's like, yo, come on, stop crying about striking out. But also if you read that story that you were referring to, it's like Tatis at 22 years old has been everything for that franchise, and they've gone from being one, they traded for everybody and have fallen out of a playoff race. And he's kind of like, dude, we're doing all this. I've popped my shoulder out three times and I'm still been one of the best players in the game. And here we are about to miss the playoffs again. I don't think it's the issue between them, but I do think there's some organizational issues that I've been hearing about that too. And I think it all boils down to, I think Jace Tingler should probably update his LinkedIn.
Sounds like he won't be. Sounds like he'll be keeping his job, actually. From what I read in that report, doesn't sound like they have any inclination to fire him, but we'll see. When the losses pile up and you get to the end of the season, maybe you rethink things. Chiefs Ravens, did you treat yourself to watching that game Sunday night, gentlemen?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, man. Nipples were hard the whole time, man. It was great.
I got to admit, Tone.
I need a cigarette.
It was kind of a sexual experience for me as well. That game reminded me that I liked
football. You.
Reminded me that I liked football a lot. Hmm.
The Harbaugh call was great. It was so, and I love that they're like, oh, analytics. Like, I thought it didn't need analytics at all. Like, it was so obvious. You didn't need to, like, do the math to go for it on fourth and one. It just seemed so obvious to me the whole time.
Yeah. Like, I don't get why football people don't think more like basketball and like, oh, final seconds or I need a play. Yeah, I'll give it to the best player on my team versus let's try this punter guy. You know, let's see what he's all about.
Go win the game. It's not hard.
Russ, you've grown up in Chicago. You've grown up a Bears fan, watching the Bears your entire life. When you turn on a Chiefs game, for example, are you confused?
Oh, no, because
do you find yourself kind of reaching, grasping, trying to figure out, is this an Olympic sport that I wasn't aware of before? Do you know what you're watching when you flip on the Chiefs?
You know, see, as a Bears fan, I feel like I have a better idea of what the team needs to do than the people that run the team. So, you know, I know that's what real offense looks like. Unfortunately, the powers that be that run the Chicago Bears have not realized that. So, yeah, it's more sad, like, damn, I'll never have this in my life.
Hey, there's a plan in place. Don't worry. Everything's going to plan right now. They're just seeing the plan out. That's what's happening.
How many?
The plan is pray to God that this kid saves them all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yo, of Ryan Pace, but Ryan Pace's first round draft picks. Ryan Pace. Ryan Pace's first round draft picks. Other than Roquan Smith, how many are still on the Bears? Exactly.
I don't remember this, but I'm pretty sure it's none, isn't it?
Exactly.
Now just him and Fields, right?
Exactly.
And finally, Russ, Scientists in Germany have successfully potty trained cows.
Yes, let's go.
They have taught cows to use the toilet. Not so much a toilet like what you have in your home, more of like a cow porta potty. But the point is that they did this because cow urine turns into a greenhouse gas, nitrous oxide, when it mixes with the soil. So this is good for the environment, good for climate change, things like that. If they can get cows to use this like cow porta potty, and then the urine can be disposed of safely. They did it. They ran this test on 16 cows. 11 of them learned to successfully use the cow porta potty. Russ, come on, man. This is compelling. This is a scientific breakthrough, Russ.
Tony, I'm going to need you to put the long bleep over this because what I'm about to say probably shouldn't go out as I say it. We basically for milk. So why can't they just put like a bucket underneath the cow and let them pee in it?
That's a good question.
That's not exactly how they get the milk.
Yes, it is.
It feels like it is.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah, you know. That's not quite right. But you're interrupting the news here.
Basically, what happened with me and a cow this weekend is the exact same thing.
Anyway.
I hope not. That's really aggressive.
It was much more relaxed than I made it sound there.
Russ, would you like to know how they taught the cows to use the cow porta potty?
And did you move?
What? What did he say?
Did Russ move?
Tony, stop.
Oh my gosh, Tony.
Please end this podcast.
Not till we finish the news, Russ. So anyway, step one was they put them in the porta potty and gave them a treat every time they made. Step two, they put them near the porta potty. So like porta potty adjacent. And they give the cow a treat if it goes in there to do its business. And if it doesn't, and it does its business out in the grass, which is the whole problem they're trying to stop, they spray it with water for 3 seconds, like from a hose. And then step three is that you repeat step two, but from farther away to see if the cow will really walk. Like, I don't know. I do have the study here in front of me, but I didn't read every detail of it. You see if you can get the cow to walk like 15 feet over to the porta potty. Like the cow really has to want to do it in the porta potty at that point to get the treat. The study concluded that with 16 out of the 11 of these 16 cows successfully learning how to do this, Russ, that quote, remarkably, the calves showed a level of performance comparable to that of children, human children we're talking about, and superior to that of very young children. You're caught up on the news now. That's it.
Is it weird that we're using their manure and urine?
Well, we're trying to prevent their urine from ruining the earth. Was the whole point of the study.
Oh, I thought you were saying that it's good for the earth.
No,
greenhouse gas is bad, Tony.
You know, I thought that part went without explaining, but it turns out it doesn't.
Okay.
It's crazy how bad everything about cows are for the environment, I feel like. Like, that's like the third thing that they're like, cows do this and it ruins the earth. You're like, damn, cows.
So this has been another episode of Biology Adjacent with Russ Dorsey, Jason Leisure, Cam Ellis, and Tony Gill. We'd like to thank everybody out there for listening to today's show. We'd like to thank our guy Cam for sitting in once again with us and adding to this chaotic thing that we call a podcast. Always a pleasure for having you on, sir. We appreciate you. Once again, if you'd like to get our merch, other Chicago sports merch, go on to obviousshirts.com. Get 10% off free shipping using promo code adjacent10. Give us a like. Subscribe, give us 5 stars, leave a comment or review. You can email us at sportsadjacent@gmail.com. Thoughts, comments, and concerns. Follow all of us. You see, if you're looking at the thing, at Jason Leisure, at Russ_Dorsey1, at the Tony Gill. It's at Cam Ellis, correct?
Kingsley Ellis.
So a name that nobody calls you. Everyone will remember that.
That's right.
Just watch your follower account. You're going to get a real boost.
I'm excited.
Morning, Kim.
The sports adjacent bump.
They're just gonna flow in like they always do. I'm just one episode away from hitting it big.
But tell all your friends, tell all your family, listen to the pod, download. We got a big back catalog. We're about 7 months deep into this thing. So there are episodes where you know, if you want to find out why Tony doesn't go to libraries or has never been to one, we have that in there. We have Jason complaining about why the police also stops white people. We got that for you if you want to look that up. That is, you know,
that's not how I would characterize it.
Well, that's how it came out.
I didn't hear news of this. Okay.
All of that is in our back catalog. Make sure you're listening to that, and we will catch you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Sports Adjacent with Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey. Be sure to download, subscribe, and give the podcast 5 stars. You can check out the latest episode of Sports Adjacent on all digital streaming platforms.
I'm very much adjacent. For a couple hours, I thought I was hood. But then all that happened, I was like, you know what, James? You adjacent to the mother.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.